If you would, join me in a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this morning. Lord, and we invite you to just be in this place, that your presence would touch us, Lord, as we desire to meet and encounter you, Lord. We just pray that this morning, your words, your wisdom would resonate in our hearts, Lord, as we desire to hear from you, and we need your wisdom and guidance, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to read from Proverbs 24, going from verses 13 to 18. All right. Proverbs 24, again at verse 13. My son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of calamity. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. Amen. Okay, so at verse 13, it says, my son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. And so, honey, like bee honey, it's really good for you, right? It's not just delicious because it's sweet like candy, but it also has all these health benefits. Honey is a superfood. I didn't even know how super this food was until I looked it up. And it's something that is, I mean, first of all, this is God's superfood, not a processed, it's not creatine or protein powder. It's not synthesized by man. It's created by God. And this superfood honey, it's high in antioxidants. So what does that mean? Lower blood pressure, improve cholesterol, reduce triglyceride levels, good for heart health, and it fights cell damage. Pretty good, right? I mean, that just overall better for your health, makes you live longer. It also, not just when you ingest it, but it heals wounds and burns. Did you know that? I didn't know that. So if you have an open wound, you have a sore from something, you have a burn, you put on honey and it increases the recovery rate. It also relieves coughs, it aids digestion, and it gives you energy. So if you need a pre-workout, have some honey. All to say, it tastes good and it's great for you. Now, the equivalent of honey for your body, it's actually wisdom for your soul. This is verse 14. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, there will be a future and your hope will not be cut off. And so wisdom does the same thing for your soul. Not only is it beneficial, but it also tastes good, right? And sometimes we forget that. We think wisdom, oh yeah, it's beneficial, but it doesn't taste very good. I don't enjoy it. But that's not it, right? And when we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about the ways of the Lord. And there's something about when you are walking and embracing according to the ways of the Lord, not only do we know it's good for us, but it also feels good. Have you ever had to, you know, you're struggling with a decision, and or you're going about things, and usually and what's driving you is your ways. It's your flesh. It could be greed. And sometimes we're just, you know, we're reactive. We don't take time to reflect, and we just react, and we're going in this direction. And then at some point, you have some time, and you're like, what am I doing? Why are we going about things this way? And you're like, okay, I should go about things in God's way, which oftentimes is a different way. And then at that point, when you finally choose to do that, suddenly it feels so good, right? There's a certainty that, like, what I think that's why it tastes so good and it's so good for you. It's certainty. Uncertainty, what does that do to your soul? Anxiousness, anxiety. It's not a good feeling to be so uncertain. What am I going to do? Should I do this or that? And you're just leaving it to, I guess, circumstances, hoping that things will work out. But until it works out, which could be, I mean, we always hope sooner than later, but until that it works out, that in-between time, we're just so anxious because there's no certainty. However, if you walk in the ways of the Lord, you're putting your hope and certainty not on the circumstances. You're not even putting it necessarily in the result. You're putting it in God. And so, yes, if you're putting it not in God, things could look bleak, right? I think of the current generation, right? They look at jobs, no job. AI, or I mean, at least what's being shared is AI's gonna take over all the jobs. I don't even know what to study anymore. And so there's no hope in job or career. In Hong Kong, they look, you know, at homes. The prospect of owning a home. No home, because it's so expensive, it's impossible. Unless I'm fortunate enough that I inherit it from somebody, or like your family, there's no hope for me. Relationships, also no hope, right? Because now, you know, with online dating and the way with social media, it's so toxic. Everyone is, it's so hard to actually build a relationship. And so if you look at these things, look at just circumstances, then there's no hope. Or it could seem hopeless. But if you put your hope in the Lord, what does it say? It says, verse 14, it says, then there will be a future and your hope will not be cut off. You put your hope in Jesus, the result, there's always a hope. Always. Doesn't Jesus transcend our circumstances? Does it transcend AI? Because he's real. Jesus is real. He's revealed to himself to love us, to want to partner with us, to work in our lives. He wants to speak to us and guide us. And so there's always a hope, and thus your hope will not be cut off. Verse 15, it says, do not lie in wait, a wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place. And this is kind of a warning to wicked people. It's a warning to wicked people and saying, don't mess with the righteous. Don't mess with those who put their trust in the Lord, who are walking in his ways and wisdom. It's kind of like a trash talk, kind of, to the enemy, to the wicked. Don't mess with the righteous. Why? Because, verse 16, it says, a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. And so it's kind of speaking to the wicked and the enemy, kind of trash talking, kind of to discourage them. Don't mess with the righteous. You know why? Because it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be fruitful because the righteous, they fall 7 times and get back up. In other words, it's saying the righteous never give up. They're resilient. It's kind of like I think of, when you're a basketball team, 5-on-5. You know, in the game of basketball, people will score 100%. I've never seen an NBA game where a team doesn't score. So the objective when you're defending is not, the expectation is that it's not the other team will never score. What makes a really great team, a great defensive team that's so frustrating to play is if they never give up. Like they're doing something called full court press. In other words, they're just playing hard defense on you the whole game, nonstop, and it's just so tiring and it wears away at you. They're playing physical with you. That's what makes an effective defensive team. They just keep coming, never give up. And that's the picture of a righteous person as well. In fact, you could make the case, how do you know someone is strong? How do you know someone is spiritually strong and mature? It's not when things are going well, it's when things are not going well. Because when things are not going well, that's the strain, that's the test to see their true strength. And a righteous man, and this is the strength, it's not that you never fall, it's that when you fall, you get back up. When things get tough, do you just give up? And sometimes we say, and I want to say, especially in relationships, this is where I would say we really need strength. When the relation gets tough, right? Maybe you've had one or two conversations and it didn't go well, and then you say, oh, I guess we agreed to disagree. Or do you keep at it? Keep persevering. Keep pursuing. You don't let it, define you and that's it. Or you keep trying. And that perseverance, I would submit to you, is true strength. And in contrast, it says, the wicked stumble in time of calamity. It makes sense. Because think about it. What are the wicked putting their hope in? Themselves. Or what they want. And so when things don't work out, that really is the conclusion. And so, just to reiterate, the righteous man who's able to get up over and over again and not give up, what is the source of that strength? It's not just you and a belief, oh, I never give up in myself. That's my mantra. No, it's God. Because you have a God who's never going to give up on you, where there's always going to be a hope, and a hope that never is going to cut off, therefore, you never have to give up yourself. That you can stand back up. And there's been, just to be clear, I know it's not easy. And the process oftentimes is, you're like, I want to give up. And then in a small, still voice, or in that moment when you're seeking the Lord, it's like, you can do it. Don't give up. Try again. Pursue again. Put yourself out there again, whether it be in your job, your relationships. Forgive again. And then you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to. Can I do it? I can't. And then at some point, hopefully, you're like, okay, Lord, if this is what you want, I can try again with your help. Verse 17, it says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. This is a reminder for us. And it is very natural that when your enemy stumbles and fails, that you would rejoice, right? Someone who's lying, cheating, dishonest, things don't work out for them. Justice. Yes. I knew it. They got what they deserved. In fact, the opposite is probably infuriating, which is these dishonest, lying people, greedy, and it works out for them. What rises in us? That's so unfair. Why'd they get the promotion? I've been working so much harder than them. I've been doing this. It's so unfair. And so when things don't work out, then we can tend to rejoice, be really happy about it. But in verse 18, it says, the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. Now it's like, oh, why? I mean, the question is, if something bad happens to people, bad people, why is it so bad to rejoice? I feel like it's kind of fair, right? And so you have to kind of, one recent illustration or parable would be, it's one that I shared on recently, would be the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. And in this parable, the Pharisee keeps comparing himself to sinners, in this case, the tax collector, and these people are not righteous. He feels he is righteous, and he feels good about it. He compares himself to them and feels good, derives his value from comparing. That's exactly what happens if we rejoice when we're glad when the enemy falls. Because we're looking at their circumstances, comparing, and then we feel good about ourselves. And so two things. One is, where are we really supposed to get our value from? Is it from comparing ourselves to other people and their circumstances? Or do we get our identity and value from being a child of God? And then the second thing is, you know, these people that we rejoice in, like, we're no different. We're all the same. They're making a mistake. They are sinners. We're the same. They're also God's creation. God loves them, right? And sometimes I think the problem is we disassociate ourselves from the person. We don't see them as somebody we're connected to. Because as a parent, you know, I what would resonate deeply is, in like kind of this circumstance, is my children. If my daughter rejoiced that something bad happened to her brother, even though he did something bad, and she's like, yes, I would be so upset. Not only, I think I would be angry. I was like, this is your brother. Instead of rejoicing, why don't you love him and teach him and correct him? Have a conversation. Explain to him instead of just being so happy that they got in trouble or something didn't work out. Right? And so, I mean, I guess given that, there's a better response for us than rejoicing. I realize, like, this is something, it's just reactive. If something bad happens to bad people, you know, we just react, like, yeah. But we got to catch that. In that moment, what is a better response? I mean, if you know the person, maybe have a conversation with them. If you don't know them or know them, pray for them. What does Jesus say? What is his instruction for us to towards our enemies, to pray for them. We're to love our enemies as our neighbors, and we are to pray. That's probably the best, like, automated response. Okay, I need to pray. I need to pray for them. And as you pray, and prayer is not just about, fulfilling requests. It's something that happens for us, too. As we pray, I believe we connect with the Lord, and then we connect with His heart. And then we suddenly have His heart for the people that we're praying for. Where before we just see them as a sinner, right? Then we suddenly have God's heart for that person as His creation, as our brother or sister in Christ. And we suddenly have love and compassion for the person instead of just judgment. Amen? Okay, let's stop here. Marcus will lead us. And maybe we'll just, during this time, we can just go back to verse 16. A righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. And so maybe I just felt like there's some area in our life or heart where maybe you've closed off, you've given up on. It could be ministry. It could be even towards God. It could be, oftentimes it's relationships, our parents, our spouses, our friends, house church. And you're like, I've kind of given up on it. Well, let the Lord speak to you. Is that what He wants? Is that what He's directing you? And maybe God's like, hey, I think you've made enough effort for now. And so I want you to move on and not put your focus on this. And I'm just going to work on this person's heart for now. Maybe. But maybe He also wants you to not give up, to continue to persevere. And again, what is your motivation for doing this? It's because there's always hope in the Lord. And so if there's something where you're like, I can't do it, I'm done with, and usually we're aware, just go to the Lord. Allow Him to breathe hope into it. Allow Him to breathe hope into the future.
I love You, Lord, for Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love You, Lord, for Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life You have been faithful. And all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, You are close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. And all life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I've surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thanks, Marcus. Let's gather at the front so we can pray together. Work and we would join in what he's doing and see. for a day.
No update. It's been since.
for his transition.